On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the recent football game against Clemson, review other Gamecock athletic updates, and go over some college football notes. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 23 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. I think that's all I got. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, man, it's been a tough day, Gamecock fans. It's been a tough day for us. You know, it's a tough way to end the regular season. It really felt like there was a little bit of momentum. It really felt like there was some more energy across, whether it's social media, my friends who were my people, my friends who were in Colombia. They were just saying the energy was palpable, and it's a tough pill to swallow. And we're obviously going to dive into that a little bit in detail. But yeah, it's just a tough one. It was a tough one to sort of accept and move on from, especially when you hadn't had this game in 2 years now, and in just that fashion at home. It's a tough one. And I really, I think it's solidified. That team from the upstate, I'm not even going to say their name as much as I can, and I think they have solidified 1A, just one most hated team. Really. I mean, my goodness gracious. I said the fans were like cicadas. No joke. I mean, yeah, we're all talking smack on Twitter and on Instagram, and like, it's a rivalry game. That's what you're supposed to do. You talk smack. It's not personal, right? We don't, you know, I don't get nasty or anything. I make a couple jokes here and there. It was silent from Clemson fans all week. And I honestly think because they were nervous and they haven't had the season that they like. They're not at the top of the mountain of college football this year. And I think they were a little nervous. Sure enough, after the game, comments I made days ago were getting replies from Clemson fans. Cicadas. Cicadas, they pop up and they're annoying for a small amount of time, and then they go away. So we'll hear about them. They're not even going to the ACC championship game, which is incredible. So suck on that, and we'll hear about them come their spring ball, where they're going to say, oh, we're back. Jeez Louise. All right. Before we dive into that in greater detail, do have some updates for you since my last show here. Women's basketball, they played on Friday. They beat the snot out of Elon. I mean, could have seen that one coming a mile away. 79-38. Aaliyah Boston leading the way with 12 points, 3 blocks, and 2 steals. 2 steals. Hustlin. That's our girl. That's my girl. Hustlin. And also wanted to give a quick shout-out to Bria Beal. 9 points, but talk about hustle right here. 8 rebounds. In a game where you were dominating from start to finish, still grinding, still hustling, getting the boards, that's a championship team there. That's the type of effort that is going to propel this team week in and week out as we build up to eventually conference play and really our ultimate goals of bigger and better things. But great job, girls. They play, I believe it is Monday. Yes, they play on Monday, which will be today when you're listening, against North Carolina A&T. And so probably could be another bloodbath there. But and then on the men's side of things here to Sunday, so right before I finished recording this, rather, they beat Ryder. Nice win, 65-58. They were down 5 at the half, so you had some Frank Martin defense really clamped down in the second half. Keyshawn Bryant, KB, welcome back, KB, welcome home. 17 points, 5 rebounds for the big man. I think it's safe to say he is in great spirits, and we are happy to have him back. And then also want to give a quick shout-out to Jermaine Cousinard, veteran leader, 13 points also there. So that was a nice win there. And they play, the men's team will play Wednesday at Coastal Carolina, so in Dirty Myrtle. And this is a chance to have a really nice start for the men's team. They had that hiccup against Princeton. We all were kind of like, oh, man, like, here we go, this team of transfers. But they have seemed to have really stepped up as of late after that loss and seem to be gelling pretty well. And hopefully they can keep up the momentum. So really good job there for Frank. I did want to give a quick shout-out. This was on Saturday. So Saturday we all had our eyes set on football. But the other type of football, if you will, soccer, women's soccer, the miracle season, the Cinderella story, it came to a close on Saturday as our women's soccer team, they lost to BYU. Hats off to the girls. I mean, really, that was an incredible run. They went in, barely got squeaked into the tournament, made it to the Elite Eight. That is something to be proud of. And I think all Gamecocks can say, well job, ladies. Well job. Jeez Louise. Well done. Good job. And we're all very, very proud of you. Now, on the other side of the being proud is what happened Saturday night. So, all right. So, let's go over this real quick here. So, obviously, we know it was the Palmetto Bowl. Clemson versus Carolina. Clemson, hey, we coming to a head. And it was at home. It was at night. The energy was palpable. And South Carolina laid an egg. Clemson shut out the Gamecocks 30-0, and there really is just not a whole heck of a lot to say. I mean, I think that everyone was feeling that this was kind of our time if we were going to break the streak. The stars were aligning in a way where, you know, we had just come off a big win against Auburn. We're bowl eligible. Like, maybe Clemson is coming off a little dejected because NC State clinched their spot in the ACC title game. And I don't know. I felt it. I mean, I knew we were 11-point or 12-point, whatever it was, underdogs at home. And I knew that Clemson had been playing well as of late. But I don't know. It just felt like maybe we could have some magic here. And that just was not the case. And it kind of stinks because that has kind of been the theme of this Gamecocks team, right? I mean, I'm going to get into what I liked and what I didn't like, but like the general themes, if you ask me, are, yeah, this team competes for four quarters, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They play really hard. They play their guts out. But from an overall wins and losses perspective, aside from our two opening games, Carolina has followed a win with a loss. So we're a 500 ball club, right? I mean, we're 6-6. That's how we ended the regular season, which, again, we're going to a bowl game. That's a great accomplishment in year one. I mean, could you imagine if we had 5 wins going into this game and bowl eligibility was on the line? Like, that would be a complete nightmare. But we're a 500 ball club. And I feel like when you can look back on the year, you can say, you know what? That feels about right. Because for every great game we had, good win, we had another bad loss. And this is just another example of that. Come off a great win, a complete team four-quarter, hard-fought win against Auburn, only to come out with a complete dud against Clemson. And a lot of this, if not like 90%, is on Marcus Satterfield and the offense because they did absolutely nothing. They did negative stuff. Negative things that I liked. So I guess we will start there. So what did I like and what did I not like from both sides of the ball here? So on defense, what did I like? First off, Cam Smith. Amazing pick. He is a baller. And that was great to see him get the start. I was nervous he was banged up. But that play early in the game, it felt like a chance. Like, okay, like maybe we can slow this down here. You gave up the score right away to Clemson. And you thought that, oh my gosh, it could be a long night. Turns out it kind of was. But in that moment, big shout out to Cam Smith. But the defense, when you really look at the scoring breakdown, I don't think they were all that bad. Like, I don't think you can point at the defense and be like, you guys are the reason why this game got out of hand here. Yes, you gave up 30 points. That's not great, right? That's above our average. But to be down, it was only 17-0 going into the half. We were getting the ball back. It felt like if we had gotten to the end zone or gotten any points before the end of the half and then did the same thing in our first possession, you're right back in there. But even without scoring going into the half, to be down 17-0, like you're in that ball game. right? That is very doable. You can come out, get some points, get a stop, and you're right back in this. And in that same vein, only gave up 3 points in the third quarter. Like, the defense kept us in this game. Like, we had every chance to climb our way back into this game. So overall, from the defense, like, good job. Like, yes, the grand total, like the sum of all parts, like, wasn't that great. But throughout the game, it didn't feel like we were getting smoked, right? It felt like we were getting gashed, but almost like a little bend don't break type deal. So overall, I think I was okay with how the defense performed. But what I did not like was getting gashed, right? You gave up the huge scramble play to DJ. Will Shipley really had his way with us all night long. I mean, you really limited DJ through the air. He only threw for 99 yards and a pick. You did your job there. You knew that they were going to try to lean on their run game, and you were not able to slow that down. Now, had you been able to do that a little bit more effectively, I don't know. Maybe that 30 points becomes 24. But again, it doesn't matter because the offense didn't do jack. So that was the one thing that I did not like, that our defense was giving up chunk plays all night and we were getting gashed. On the offensive side of the ball, what did I like? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. EJ Jenkins, he had a nice play, little play action. Josh Van had a nice catch. It was, I guess, I like the gutsiness to at least try to look for a spark and bring in Zeb, I guess. But the offensive line wasn't able to protect JB for the vast majority of the night, so I don't see what bringing in Zeb, who is less mobile, really gives you. But I think Beamer was looking for a spark, looking to get something on the board. There really is not much alike. I mean, we scored 0 points. What am I supposed to say? What did I not like? Kind of the opposite of that. Just I didn't like damn near everything. And I feel like I've said that exact same line before this season. And it's just frustrating. I mean, opening the games, just dud drives. And again, silly, like an illegal substitution in the first or second drive. Like, this was sort of the culmination of the, oh, well, we don't do this that good. We don't do that that good. We've been undisciplined. Sometimes we can't get the pass game going. Sometimes the play calling is suspect. And all of that came to fruition. And I've had my rants and my tweets about Satterfield. I think it was nice he took the job. It was a bit of a flyer, that two-year deal. I had seen rumors that they had already discussed that he would not be back. I had seen rumors that he had already been interviewing for other jobs, if not accepted. And look, they're just rumors. None of them were verified. So A, that makes me think that, all right, we're at least going to move in the right direction. And I'm going to do a season recap next episode, so I'll dive a little bit more into this. But at least we're going to move in the right direction with that. But if you know it's your last day on the job, are you really going to give your best effort? Are you going to put your feet up on the desk a little bit? That's kind of what it felt like. If all of that is true, that they had in fact agreed, that's exactly what that felt like. Everything just seemed disjointed. We did not come out with the energy. We looked perplexed. JB was going for the home run when he didn't have to be. The play calls were a little bit suspect at best. And yeah, there was just not a whole heck of a lot to like. And it just was not creative. Like, we were running inside zone after inside zone, which is what they have said worked against Florida and Auburn. But it wasn't working against Clemson. Like, there were very little adjustments. It felt like we needed to just get some slants. Every now and then you would do a slant pass or two and it would work. And then it'd be like, oh, no. It worked. Can't do it. Nope, can't do it. We got to call something else. And like, there were some times where I felt that we were down. And this is kind of more talking to Beamer, but also, I guess, the play calling in general. But like, you're getting your teeth kicked in more or less, right? Like, you're clearly, you don't have anything going. And late in the game, Zeb was able to get a couple of first downs. You were able to move the sticks a little bit. And there were two opportunities, I believe, where we could have gone for what I call the sad field goal. Where the field goal, it doesn't accomplish anything, right? You're down by multiple touchdowns. But I think that you got to show a little bit of pride in the sense of don't get shut out at home to your rival. And I think it was late in the game. It was like 4th and 8. And We went for it where it was well within Parker's range. And now, Parker, I know you don't want to bring this into the equation, but Parker's 4 points away from breaking the all-time points record. I mean, you know, you don't really want to make that decision based off of that, but when you were down 23-0, 30-0, like late in the game, take the sad field goal. I know it's a sad field goal. It's a tough look. But you know what's a worse look? Getting shut out. So simple as that. Really did not like a whole heck of a lot from the game. But again, if we do try to take a little bit of a step back and try to put any sort of positivity, you know, because this was like you, beating Clemson would have been a cherry on top of a season. And this is kind of the opposite. It's kind of like someone came and smacked your cake a little bit, but you still got like a good chunk of cake because we are going to a bowl game. This team overall did a whole heck of a lot better than we would have thought going into the season. And I think we should just at least try to be a little bit grateful for that. But that's so much easier said than done. I mean, I've been moping around all day. So really, I'm just trying to psych myself up here. But let me tell you one thing. I'm going a little bit of a rant here. We as Gamecock fans, we see through the facade that Dabo Swinney has. And I think the national media and people around who watch college football have started to see this too. But Clemson fans just believe that he is just the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's salt of the earth, yada, yada, yada. They think he has a moral compass, that he's a gentleman competitor. He doesn't rub it in your face. He's respectful. He has values. We've all heard it before. And little old Clemson would never try to disrespect anybody. Well, let me tell you something. Late in the game, I'm talking about way late in the game, 4th and 3 from like R4 or 5, and you go for the touchdown to make it 30-0. In my mind, that is disrespectful. The game was well in hand. And I understand people are going to say, nope, that's competition, that's football, all that jazz. That's fine, right? If you're a Nick Saban, if you're a guy who's like, I'm going to step on your throat, and like that's how I operate all the time, fine. When has Dabo ever said that? If someone did that to Dabo, he'd be like, that's classless. He'd say, they're making fun of us. You know, they're rubbing it in. I mean, the game's over at that point. And you know he would. And that really, really pissed me off and solidified them as top-hated team in the Tim Cox rankings. And his stupid, like, they dumped the Gatorade on him. And that stupid song that they play after every single thing. They would tackle us for like 2 yards and they would play the damn song. So stupid. We would have an F up and he'd be clapping and cheering like they had a great win. It was just crazy. Crazy to me. He is so obnoxious. He is so obnoxious and he plays the victim and he's not. And he is the most egotistical college coach, hands down, by far and away. Everything is about him. Watch what he says. Watch how he acts. He spins everything to him. Spins everything to their benefit. It's just banana land. Ugh. So let's try to wash the bad taste of this game out of our mouth. In other news, it was a pretty electric day in college football, though. Biggest headline, in my opinion, has to be Ohio State gets taken down. Finally, Jim Harbaugh gets his win. And now the college playoff, the college football landscape is changing. Because now you're going to have Michigan go to the Big Ten Championship. I believe they're playing Iowa. Iowa, I don't think they have much of a chance. They're going to have to get a couple lucky breaks. So now you're looking at, presumably, Georgia and Cincinnati. I mean, they have not the easiest game in their championship game, but assuming that they win. And then you'll have Michigan. And then in Bedlam, another crazy game. You had Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma. They're going to the Big 12 championship game. If they win that, they're probably going in. Because Alabama, it took them 4 overtimes to beat Auburn. That game was banana land as well. But I kind of feel like Georgia's going to handle business in the SEC championship games. Now you're going to have Alabama with multiple losses. This playoff could be a whole set of new teams, which is something that I think your average college football fan has wanted. You want to see some new colors. You want to see some new faces. You want to see some new schemes and all that jazz. So a very electric day in college football. And also, we have Billy Napier going to Florida. And breaking news, right as I was recording this, Lincoln Riley is going to Southern Cal. So now, Oklahoma has the opening. Everyone thought he was going to LSU. Who the heck's going to go to LSU? I don't know. Are they going to bring O back? That would be bananas. They're not going to. But I don't particularly like Southern Cal, and mainly because they stole our initials. But to have the Pac-12 be more competitive and to have maybe SC compete for a playoff spot, I think would be kind of a nice change of pace. And I think most college football fans would agree with that. But with that, we're going to see how that goes. That wraps up this episode. Let's try to move on from this. Let's try to just do a bunch of push-ups, scream into a pillow, whatever you got to do. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And if you are able to leave a review, please do. I want to hear your feedback as to what you like, what you don't like about the show. And with that, let's stick together. Onward and upward. Go Cox.